Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Happy to be out tonight. Amen. Let's all stand if you will. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another wonderful day. Lord, we thank you for all your blessings and your mercy, Lord, you've endured in our lives. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity together, Lord, to sing a few songs and to hear thy precious word. Lord, we ask you to speak to us this night. Everything be said and done for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Think this old song on 102, Capstone Books. Amen. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. As I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Amen. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, amen, he's always there. Amen, we appreciate him. Page 9 in the same book. God delivers again. Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people begin to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, Moses did cry. Then God parted the waters and they crossed to the other side. Oh, God delivers again. Oh, my God delivers again. When it seems that all is lost, he reaches down his hand. Then on the scene, amen, ready and willing to help. Oh, it's so good to know, amen, you know him and his power, amen. Page 34, same book. Oh, we thank him, amen. Praise his name, victory ahead. When the host of Israel led by God round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead, victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the trusting in the Lord. I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Often with the karma I was tried, asking for deliverance. Oft I cried, trusting in the Lord. I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead. Victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus. Victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory. By His grace, amen, regardless what comes before us, we know we can trust Him, amen. Praise His name. Brother Sellers, you mind taking up the offering? Amen. Good to know the five-star general, amen. Brother, if you would.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly thankful.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we get to sing these songs, Father, that by revelation, Lord, you placed them in our hearts. Lord, what we have to look forward to. Promises that you've made, knowing that you'll stand behind every word, Lord. We meet the same requirements, Father. We'll never fail. We love you so much. Ask that you would bless us for the service that we'll be offering. Lord, just multiply it to meet the needs here, we ask.
Yes, sir.
We'll give you the glory and honor in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. That little chorus, just any day now, the Lord is coming. Amen. Just any day now, the Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Amen. Oh, I've been watching. And I've been waiting just any day now. His face I'll see. Sing it again. Just any day now, the Lord is coming. Raise your hand. Brother Philip D. Long, would you take the request?
Heavenly Father, we appreciate the opportunity to have you here this evening, Lord. We wait and expect it, Lord, for your word to come forth, Lord. We pray, Father, that as it comes forth, it will speak to our hearts, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Cause us to draw closer to you, Lord, in this hour that we're living in, dear God. Lord, may it touch somebody's heart for the first time, Lord.
Yes.
My God, and they might find yourself in need of you, Lord. Seek thy face and call upon you, Lord. My God, to become their Savior and their keeper and their
just any day now. The Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting just any day now. His face I'll see. Amen. Praise his name. As we ask our brother to come, sing out low chorus, I'm reaching out to you, Lord, I'm reaching out to you.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord, I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray, my way into your kingdom true. I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Oh, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord.
I'm reaching out to you. I know your not too sure, and you can reach me too. And as I pray, impress my way into your kingdom true. I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you.
Sing it again. Amen.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray, impress my way into your kingdom true. I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you.
Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Lord, we are thankful for this precious little opportunity you've given us to come. And Lord, together in the precious presence of your precious word and your Holy Spirit. And Lord, together with saints of like precious faith and sing these precious songs, Lord, that we've sang. And Lord, we're just so appreciative for everything that you've done for us and are still doing. And Lord, help us to be more thankful for all that you've done and doing. And Lord, may we show our appreciation back to you. And Lord, may we never fail to give you the glory and the honor for everything that you do in our lives. Lord, to make sure that we're here to the praise of your glory. And Lord, if you've done something for us, Lord, may we be sure to glorify your name and to thank you. That, Lord, through it all, it would be pleasing, Lord, to you. And Lord, that our lives would be a testimony of what you've done for us. And Lord, that others would see and be able to know that you're this alive today and the same yesterday, today, and forever. We just ask your blessings upon your word this evening that we'll partake of, and ask you to bless these words to our heart, Lord, though they're very familiar. And just may we be able to take a nugget from it, Lord, or maybe we stir up our hearts, I pray, and we'll never fail to see that you receive all the glory for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Aren't you happy? Amen. I'm thankful every time we get to come together. You know, this evening I was a little bit late getting here myself, but just thinking about this week and what it means to, you know, to the true believer when we see Easter, and how that Easter is truly a day that's celebrated in the heart of every believer all the time. But I thought we'd go back and renew our minds to a few scriptures. If you wanted to return with me to Isaiah 53 while you're standing. And just take a moment to, Peter always said he thought it meet to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And I know we all could read these things, but I just thought we'd go back together and read them together and let the Holy Spirit just let it refresh our hearts what God has done for us and what he did for us. And to prepare our hearts a little more for whatever the Lord will lay upon our pastor's heart for Sunday. And then knowing that we'll be taking communion, just thanking the Lord for what he's done for us. Saints, we owe him our all. Everything about us we owe to him. Here in Isaiah 53, and we'll just start there at the first verse. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, and he is rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as if it were our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. And I'd like to continue on down to read this verse. And all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, ye shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. And shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And to think that as Isaiah was writing these things, looking afar off and seeing what was coming. But it's just amazing to me that even in this scripture, as the Lord was showing Isaiah this, to speak these things and to put it down into paper, and how he made sure to say that twice, that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth, not a complaint. He went willingly for you and I to bear our sins and our griefs and our transgressions and to take our place. And how thankful it ought to make us, and how appreciative we really should be to see in this great hour in which we live, and to see that God has allowed us the opportunity to have had a prophet to bring these words and to go down and to show us the great plan of God, and to truly see the salvation of the Lord in a great unfolded mystery of Christ being revealed in us in this last few moments of time and his great plan. But the price that had to still be paid for us to be here today, to have the enjoyment of filling the Holy Spirit, and to know that what we do by a desire, not because we're forced to. We don't have to come in year by year anymore and make a sacrifice and still go out with the same desires, but once and for all, he changed our hearts and our lives and made intercession for us. Let's turn over here to the book of Luke and just read this again as Isaiah was prophesying there and putting it forth. But here in Luke, the We'll turn over to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Let's just read this 23rd verse and just think about that. As the scripture said, Isaiah was prophesying back there. He said there was no deceit in his mouth. And think about that, that as those scriptures were jotted down by Luke over here, having been a witness to what had taken place here and to see that was going on. And the whole multitude of them rose up and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou king of the Jews?" And he answered and said, "Thou sayest it." And then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people by teaching throughout all Jewry, and beginning from Galilee to this place." And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard of many things of him, and he had hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. Think of, Brother Branham mentioned it many times, to think that there stood the King of Kings standing in his presence. And Herod, all he could do was just desirous to see a miracle done by him. He couldn't, not humble enough, and was blinded to see who he really was. He questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again unto Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together. But before, they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, he saith unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man. And touching those things whereof ye accuse him, no, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him." Think of that. God's precious scriptures, there stood the lamb fixing to be slain. And to take away our sins and to spill that precious blood and to bear the stripes for each one of us. And to think that all of the scriptures that Isaiah had spoke beforehand coming to pass right here at this time, and God fulfilling and making everything that lined up. Isaiah saying there was no deceit in him, there was no guile. And then to see men have to testify to the same thing that God said, to prove it forth, that what God said would happen, it came to pass exactly the way God said it would. He said, "I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of the necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." And Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again unto them, but they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him, and I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them for that sedition a murderer was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid a hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, and come out of the country on him, and they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him great company of people and of women which had bewailed and laminated him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. And then shall they begin to say, The mountains fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And there was also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers, think of that, those great words. And how if we could just bear more in mind, Father, as he was hanging there being beaten, spit upon, mocked, scoffed, and all manners done to him. And he could still hang his head and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, if we could just be more forgiving of every one, each one, their transgressions. If we could truly have that mindset that maybe someone done something against you, somebody's done something that you just has really irked you. But oh, if we could truly be as he was and say, Father, forgive them. And truly mean it from the depths of our hearts, not truly say, well, I forgive them because I have to. But truly, with a heartfelt forgiveness, I forgive you. And mean it from the depths of your heart. How much more we would feel that freedom sometimes. As our pastor's been going on the heat about perfect faith and how Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. That your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. Oh, how great a thing it is to truly be able to forgive somebody for something. Maybe they don't even realize it. Maybe it's somebody cut you off going down the highway. Somebody done something they didn't even realize. And instead of having that raise up, oh, I'd like to get them, just to truly have it in your heart from an automatic overflowing. Lord, forgive them. They didn't mean to do that thing. Oh, how great it is to see that desire that he had and the love that he had for the people. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with him derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of the Greek and Latin and Hebrews, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. But he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, can you imagine what that man's heart must have leaped in his chest to hear those precious words? And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. And all for you and I, he had to bear that shame and reproach. For you and I, he bore all of that, that today we can stand here recipients and an inheritance of all the things that he's prepared for us. Let's turn over here to Hebrews, the ninth chapter, and read this as Paul put it. And may it truly stir our hearts to think of the wonderful gift he gave us that day, preparing and giving us the opportunity to stand here tonight in his precious presence with great anticipation, and to know that we can stand here and lift up our hands and worship him and praise him for what he's done for us, and knowing that that blood that was spilled on that day is covering us, and that he don't see this flesh body, but always looking at that perfect you and I, that genuine born again soul that's laying before him. Here in the ninth chapter, and let's start here about the 11th verse, just to save a little time. But Christ becoming a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. And oh, haven't you seen the power of that in your life, to truly see, to purge us from those dead works and to serve a living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, and for the redemption of transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be the necessity to be death of the tester. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the tester liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God had enjoined unto you." And moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, and now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest that entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, so Christ, once he offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that looked for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which were offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of the sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. But therefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hadst no pleasure." And then said I, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." And above, when he had said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law," then he said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." And he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And you've got to see that personally to you. As Paul spoke in Romans, whom he did foreknow, them he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he glorified, them he also sanctified. Think about all that he has done for us through this great plan. And many this week, because it's Easter, as the world looks upon it and just sees it as a place on the calendar to them, it's a ritual, and they go through all of their motions, and they go through all of their things. But we sit here recipients tonight of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, having the very one that suffered and died abiding with us, with an evidence proving that he is with us. Not a hope, not a just a wishful thinking, but an evidence to see that he is risen from the dead and is living again in individuals that have been filled with the precious Holy Ghost. And to see it made alive to us. And to see that by this overcoming, this taking a place in our lives, that we can see that that blood has been applied to us. And to truly see that the life of that sacrifice has come back upon the worshiper. And once purged, has no more desire for sin, no more. But our goal and our everything about us is turned to glorifying God and a desire to please Him and to know His and to have a passion to know His will and to be about His business. And he goes on here, he says, but for where this wherefore the Holy Ghost also, let me back up, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brother, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. I like how Paul puts this. After he's give forth this example of everything that's been done for you and I, that we could have the privileges in the precious fellowship of Jesus Christ here. And Paul says, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And oh, how much we should truly want to do that. And how we should truly see with the price that he paid for us, the love that he's had for us, how much it ought to cause such a love for each one of our brothers and sisters when we realize and truly see that that's a part of Jesus Christ that's sitting here today. We're each one members of that body. Each one of us is washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, sitting here being sprinkled and covered over and part of the family of God. What a joy it ought to place in our hearts, but what a sincerity and what a meaning it ought to have to us to know the price and the willingness that he had for us to give himself that we could share in his fellowship today. Knowing that we're standing here clean before him, knowing that he's taken upon us, he bore those stripes that I could have my healing, that I can stand here and rejoice that by his stripes I'm healed and see God heal my body and to be able to stand here and to be able to worship him and praise him, knowing what he suffered to bring that to pass. That as that body was broken, sometimes it's so easy to forget that he was a man in the flesh at that point that felt pain as you and I. He felt every stripe that was laid on his back. He felt every bruise and thorn that was pressed and crammed into his head. He felt the shame and the reproach that went with it. And sometimes it's so easy to read the Bible almost like a storybook and just think, oh, that's a story from long ago. You know, today you look back into history and you read about wars that's gone by. And you may hear of great battles that took place. And it's easy to think, oh, that must have been a rough time over there. They must have really went through it. But you can't truly know what they went through and experience what they really experienced at the time and the things they had to suffer. And we read it kind of that way. We're thankful that those men went through that, but you can't really do that. But we're to be made into the fellowship of his sufferings and to truly bear in mind all that he did for you and I. And not just let it become a story, but to truly take it and to meditate on it and to think of the price he paid for you and I that we could stand here. And each time as he told us to take that bread and the wine and to do it in remembrance of him. And oh, how to never forget the price that he paid for us. And oh, as we wash each other's feet in humility and to remember the things Paul said of be humble and to not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And to know that he took it upon himself to wash the disciples' feet, showing us the love we should have one for another. And oh, may we truly be that one that we would show love one for another and provoke each one unto good works, that Jesus Christ would be glorified in our midst. And by this will all men know you're my disciples, when you have love one for another. Oh, saints, we're so blessed with what we've been given in this hour. And tonight we stand here and we've heard me read these precious scriptures. And it could just be Brother Tim's reading from the scriptures again. He just rehearsed them, read these scriptures to us. But I pray that it means more to us than just words on a page. But we'll stop and think about the price that he paid for us. And not just today, But every day that we walk, every morning when we rise up, and every moment we go through, thank Him for the grace that He bestowed upon you and I to have the opportunity that when we rise in the morning, there is a desire burning on the inside of our heart that says, Lord, what would you have for me today? Yeah. And every day we rise and it's, Lord, what is your will for me? And Lord, how can I do to be more pleasing to you? And there's a desire that when the church doors open, Lord, I've come to feed upon your word. That desire is so sparingly given out. That love is so sparingly given out in this last age to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ and to truly want all that he has for us, and that this price that he paid was not in vain, but all it was to bring us into his fellowship. And may we truly not forget what he's done for us, but always bear it about in remembrance and bear about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Oh, he's so precious to us, saints. It's just a few words to rehearse and to bring to our remembrance, and to keep in mind what he's done for us, and to never forget. Oh, we could have read a lot of things tonight. We could have spoke about a lot of things, and we could have went over a lot of things, but sometimes it's good just to rehearse in the stillness and the quiet and go back and read. Maybe we haven't had time to read it. Maybe we ain't even had time to think about it this week. Maybe we've been pretty busy and things going on, but how precious he is and how precious it is to know that that's speaking of me. That price was paid for me, and I am part of that. And oh, how great it is. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. We'll sing a little song. I just pray you can take something from it. It's God's word. It's inspired. And oh, if you'll just but set back and think about it. Don't ever let it become something you've heard and something you know. Oh, yeah, I know he was beaten and he was broken. But oh, think about that the next time you're laying there and you've got an ailment. Something's wrong and you need a healing. It's real, saints. He was beaten and bruised for your and my benefit. That while we were here, he is the great physician and the healer of all our diseases. And oh, may we glorify him and let our bodies be yielded to him that he could receive the glory from. That all those things that he provided, the inheritance that we hold so dear, that all that we would be praised. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Let's sing that little chorus from The Rising of the Sun. We haven't sang that in a while. Oh, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. By his mercy and grace, we can stand here tonight and feel his presence. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. We are standing on holy ground. Amen. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise so precious as we bow our heads. Precious Lord, we truly feel your presence here with us. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, don't let us forget. And Lord, don't let us take it for granted the price you paid. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace that's followed us. And Lord, as we stand here tonight with a desire burning in our hearts, Lord, that it's not a story, but oh, it's a reality. Lord, it should have been me that was pinned to that cross. It should have been my back that bore those stripes. But oh, you bore it all. And while you was hanging there, Lord, I was on your mind. Knowing, Lord, what you've done for us. And seeing the price that you paid, how great it is to give our bodies as a living sacrifice back to you. To, Lord, that our lives would be a memorial to you, Lord, in this last few moments of time. That, oh, you could have the preeminence of every action that would declare Jesus Christ to this nation and to this people. Lord, we just thank you. Oh, Lord, for what you've given us in this hour, what you've opened our eyes to be able to see. And Lord, may it be such a reasonable service to us, Lord, to just continue to surrender everything there is about us, our ambitions, our drives. Lord, that everything we are because of what you've given us. And Lord, may we truly come if you should tarry Sunday, Lord, with our hearts open, asking you to speak to us through the way of your word. And Lord, and if it be your will, we take foot for worship and communion. Lord, may it just, Lord, let us each one be so humble. And Lord, let us come with great admiration for you. And Lord, do it in the greatest of sincerity and thanking you for what you've done. And oh, what a privilege it is, Lord, to serve a living God. A God that knows everything there is about us. Lord, even tonight, maybe some have a heavy heart. Maybe there's trials and tests of life that have been rough. Maybe something's going on. Lord, you know all about it. And you paid the price, Lord, that through it all we could have peace. We could have joy. And Lord, you could take care of any situation. For you said, I am the Lord thy God, the God of all flesh. And oh, Lord, there's nothing that's too hard for you. Lord, we just humbly ask that you bless each and every one. Touch those that may be sick or afflicted, Lord. Raise them up. And Lord, may we truly claim our healing, Lord, for what you've given us. For oh, Lord, as each stripe was placed, I'm so thankful that, Lord, it was me that you were thinking of. And Lord, but it's a personal relationship with you, Lord. We've each one got to take claim of those for ourselves. And we just thank you for it, Lord. Bless us now. Bring us back if you should tarry. And we'll never fail to see if you receive all the glory and the honor for it all in the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, isn't he precious? Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus one day at a time. Amen. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Oh, yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, take one day at a time. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. You're dismissed.